Hey, hey, good morning and welcome. So my name is Kevin Guthrie and this is our very first podcast on mental health and well-being. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to this, our very, very first podcast. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of background on who I am and a little bit of background on why we might be doing these podcasts and what you might expect from future productions. So my name's Kevin Guthrie. I am a local, New York local, psychotherapeutic counsellor. So psychotherapeutic is just a model. It's a different model of therapy. I work in private practice here in New York. I have been in private practice for probably about 6 months now. That's not correct. It's actually... I've been in private practice for 6 years. 6 years I've been in private practice. I've been working with people probably about 15 years. I worked in the NHS before I worked in private practice. And my journey's taking me to this point now. With a series of podcasts, you'll find out more and more about me, what led me into working with people, parts about my own journey, parts about my own mental health and well-being. But all of that will come. So, what might you expect from this series of podcasts? Well, what we're going to try and do, for me, the reason we're going to do these is because I feel that mental health is very misunderstood. So therefore, my primary purpose of doing these is to help you understand mental health more. I think the less we understand of mental health, the less like we are to engage in mental health. So therefore, for me, it's about simplifying mental health. The more we simplify mental health, I hope the more people will get engaged. Because you know, the truth is, we all have mental health. We all have mental health in the same way that we all have physical health. So let's just think about physical health just for a couple of minutes. So you are physically well and then you get a bad leg or you get a cold or you get a headache or you get an infection in your eye. So your physical health isn't 100% anymore. Well, you know, mental health is very much the same. We are mentally well, we're happy, we're plodding along with life, and then something happens in life. And the truth is, things will happen in life. Life is full of difficulties, full of day-to-day challenges. Let's call them challenges. So therefore, when we go through those, it can have an effect on our mental health. So our mental health will go up and down a continuum. You know, they say that one in three people at some point in their life will experience poor mental health. I guess my prediction is the figure is much, much higher than that. I predict that the figure is... I predict that everybody at some point will experience some difficulty with mental health. But you know what? It's fine. It's fine because at some point we will all experience it. Once, twice, three times, sometimes many times during your life where you experience some sort of mental health difficulty. So the reason for these podcasts is to normalize and you know, to make it more understandable. And like I said earlier, make it more understandable so as more and more people will access and begin to look after their own mental health and well-being. So a little bit about my journey. Many years ago, I worked in the NHS. I worked for a part of the NHS work that was health promotion. So health promotion it's kind of the proactive part of the NHS. It's the part of the NHS that tries to keep people fit and well, physically fit and well, therefore preventing them from catching certain conditions and diseases. Because we learned many years ago that it's cheaper to prevent than it is to cure. So that was my role there. I worked with people one-on-one. My background is actually sexual health. So I worked with people one-on-one. We used to go around schools and doctors' surgeries and worked with nurses, educating on sexual health. So sexual health and well-being. So that was my background. During that time, I got a real passion for working with people. And you know, I've always been curious about people's minds, curious as to why we operate in certain ways. And I think my curiosity came from my own mind. And I'll talk more about my own mind in a short while, but I think that's where a lot of my curiosity came from. So I worked in the NHS. I started doing my qualifications to become a counsellor whilst in the NHS. Then I was made redundant, as many people are, and I set up in private practice because by that time I was a fully qualified therapist. So over the last 6 years, I've worked with people one-on-one. People self-refer into my practice. They self-refer for so many different reasons. So some of the most common ones are depression, low mood, anxiety. Anxiety is really quite big at the moment. But you know, some people are just lost. Some people get lost in life. So they want to find a space where they can just chat with somebody in a safe and confidential environment. So when people come to my practice, the practice is safe and it's confidential. I'm governed by a board of ethics. I have supervision every 3 weeks. My supervisor kind of keeps... I also, she keeps me safe. So she's there to listen to me talk about my work and to remind me in case I'm missing anything with the client. So that's what she's there for. Safe and confidential. Everything that is talked about in therapy is completely confidential. Of course, there are caveats to that. If anybody starts talking about harm to themselves or others, then we have to take that a little bit more seriously. But again, it's not, even if somebody was to tell me that they were going to self-harm or they wanted to seriously harm themselves, and that does happen, then it's about me and that person talking about what we're going to do about that. How are we going to work on that? How are we going to ensure that that doesn't happen? So it's about me and them having that conversation. It's not about me locking the door, running off and telling somebody else. Okay? So therapy is confidential. The other really cool thing about therapy is that I have no agenda. As a therapist, I have no agenda. My only real, true agenda is to see the person sat in front of me get to the place that they want to get to. So if somebody comes into me and says, I'm really sad, I don't feel happiness in anything I do, and I want to feel happiness again, then I'm going to help them get there. Somehow we're going to work out how that happens. Now, I'm not a life guidance person, so I can't tell somebody how to get to that happiness, because happiness is very different for every person. But what I can do is I can help guide them. Do you know what I mean? I can, because I'll see their world in a very different way to the way that they see it. They will see their world. So as a therapist, we will look at history, we'll look at how people are formed, and we look at what I call programming. So programming is how we learn things. So how do we learn empathy? How do we learn as children to share things, for example? How do we learn very basic things like manners? How do we learn to get dressed? How do we learn to feel sorrow? How do we learn to manage anger? Well, all of these things are programmed by the people around us, what we sometimes refer to as our primary carers. Usually primary carers are parents, but not always. So if we use the term primary carers, it's more of an umbrella term. So primary carers are responsible for all of our programming. Particularly, they say six or seven, because pre-six or seven, we have no ability to be responsible for our own programming. There's a really cool quote that I use sometimes. And although I can't remember it off by heart, the quote is something like, as children, we are not responsible for the programming we received. However, as adults, we are 100% responsible for the choices we make. So during these podcasts, you'll hear me mention podcasts. You'll hear me mention choices on quite a few occasions. I will refer to choices. So what do I mean by choices? What I mean by every day we are faced with a series of choices. Now, these can be small choices like, what do I want for my tea? What do I want, tea or coffee? Do I want to go to the gym? Lots and lots and lots of choices. But, you know, there's a lot of power in the choices that we make. And there's a lot of power in the choices that we don't give a lot of thought to. So I quite often talk to people about choices, and I'll say, be careful of the choices that you make, because sometimes the smallest of choices can lead to the biggest of consequences, because they lead us down a path. So just be mindful. But remember, if you don't take anything else away from this introduction podcast, take away this. Every day that you live your life will be full of choices. So please take that away and consider it. So where was I at? Private practice. I work with people one-on-one. I've worked with hundreds of people now. I adore my job. My job is amazing. Why? I think it's just the opportunity to be able to see people in a place of discomfort or trauma and be able to sit with them and help them work through that. And I on a few occasions during my life, I've been sat in exactly the same place. So I do get it, and I do understand it. So it's an honour, it's an absolute honour to be sitting in the position that I sit in now, where I can work with these people. And I think there's the pride as well for everybody that steps into my private practice. So everybody I meet wants to change something about their life. Everybody I meet has made the choice to make some changes. They've made the choice to find a professional and make some changes in their life. And so everybody that walks through my door, I have an instant respect for, an absolute instant respect. So doing my job is an absolute honour. So come back to the beginning of this recording. Why am I doing these podcasts? Because I want mental health and well-being to be more understandable. I want more people to be able to access it. I want more people to be able to understand how the mind works. And you know what? The mind, we kind of look at the mind and we can get very, very confused by it. But there are some really basic principles of managing the mind. And if I can get some of those across during some of these recordings, then the job's a good one. So what else? We want, during the series of podcasts, there will be different people coming in to talk to me about their experience of mental health or how they work in mental health. So I've got quite a few interesting guests coming in. And what we also want is we want interaction from yourselves. So if you have a question that you're still confused by and you feel we haven't covered yet, then email in, text us, contact us. All the details will be on the page that you found this podcast. And let's try and answer that for you. Okay? So please be interactive. Ask us what you want to know about. And you know what? If there's anybody out there that would like to be interviewed during one of these podcasts that is okay talking about their own mental health experience, then let's do that. Okay? Again, what we're trying to do is not so much normalize, but make it more understandable. And the more we talk about it, the more we will understand it. The more we understand that there are lots and lots of people out there, millions and millions of people that have their own experience of mental health difficulties, the more normalized it becomes. So that's what we're trying to do. We want more people to step forward. We want more people to be okay with stepping forward. you know, there's still an awful lot of stigma around mental health. And I truly believe that this comes from many, many years of using the words like crazy, talking about men in white coats coming to pick you up, people using terms like barking mad, or she or he is crazy. There's a lot of stigma. There's still an awful lot of stigma attached to it. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to remove some of that stigma. When I was young, when I was much, much younger, whenever we talked about mental health, we would always refer to the local mental ward on a hospital. Actually, I can't remember. I'm from Mansfield originally, and I can't remember what the local ward was called, but it was referred to. And you would get phrases like, oh, you're going to have to be crazy because they'll lock you up and they'll take you onto the ward and just fill you with medication. And, you know, many years ago, mental health wasn't as understandable as it is now. I come from a family where two of my dad's sisters were locked up. So many, many years ago, they had mental health issues. And in those days, they were just locked up. That wouldn't happen now. What would happen now is people would be worked with and helped to understand their own mental health issues. But many, many years ago, people were locked up and they were put on very heavy doses of medication. That doesn't happen so much anymore. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to destigmatize some of that. I've lost count of the amount of clients that have sat in front of me and said, I feel ashamed that I'm here. I feel ashamed I'm sat in front of you asking for your help. And the way I handle that is I always say to them, what would you do if you had a bad arm? And they always reply, I'd go to the doctors. But there's no shame attached to that. Whereas with mental health, there is still an awful lot of shame. And also vulnerability, you know, people get very, very nervous that they're not going to be able to get a job, for example, or if mental health is on their job history somewhere, that it will be detrimental to their careers. And that's why we need to make it more and more understandable, because again, the truth is, and I would say this to anybody, any employer, anybody high up, any judge or magistrate, anybody in a really high position, I challenge anybody to say to me that they have not had their own issues around mental health. And that's the truth. But people get very, very wary of it. So we're here to destigmatize. So some of the areas that we're going to cover, we will obviously look at depression and low mood. We're going to look at anxiety. We'll look at things like relationships. We'll look at things like mental health and well-being in the workplace. We will discuss how we think we could make it better. All things mental health will be discussed. We will look at obsessive behaviors, so OCDs. We will tap into addictive behaviours, so addictions, particularly around alcohol and drug use. But again, if you have any ideas of anything that you don't think that we're covering, then please, please, please get in touch and give us a shout and you tell us what you want to hear, because truly, truly, that's what I want to hear. I deliver training into different areas. And whenever I'm delivering training, I always have a preset, this is what I'm going to deliver. But actually, you know, when people start asking me questions, it's a joy. It's an absolute joy, because it means that I can answer what they want me to answer. So I love doing that. So if you do have any questions, then please, please, please step forward, get in touch, drop us an email, ask the questions that you want to answer. But we do want to cover all things mental health. We do want to try and normalize it, and we do want definitely want to try and destigmatize it. Okay? I've told you about my background. I've told you my work history. Why did I become interested in mental health? You know, it did, a lot of it did come from curiosity over my own mind. I was definitely an overthinker. I definitely had a more active, darker side to my mind than I did the brighter side of my mind. So on a few occasions, I've been through depressive periods. There have been some very, very dark periods in my life. So my passion and interest in mental health came from my own stuff. I wanted to learn how to manage my mind. I wanted to learn how to have a mind that I was proud of. Have a mind, because I would be jealous, I would be obsessive, I would be controlling, but not because I wanted to control people, but because I needed a sense of control over my life. So that would then extend out. I would get anxious. Everything, the whole gambit. So my interest in mental health came from what I wanted to learn and what I wanted to understand. And you know, that continues. After almost 20 years kind of working on my own stuff, I remember reading my first book. It was a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it was about spirituality. And he was the first guy that I ever kind of really got into. He passed a few years ago, but an amazing guy. It was such a, just a brilliant way of thinking. I really loved some of his principles. So he was the first person that I read, and that was the beginning of my journey. And since then, I've read many different books. I'm not a great reader, I have to admit, but I have read many books, and just always interested in learning and understanding more and more about mental health. And even after all the time of working with people, I'm still really, really interested and still want to do things like this to spread the message, get the message out there, make it more understandable, destigmatize it. Okay, so I'm going to sign off there because I think I've chatted on for enough. But what I am going to do, the podcasts that follow will have guests on talking about different things. We have a really interesting guy coming in to talk about a series of pictures that he took around mental health. We have a young lady coming in that works with, she's a counsellor in primary schools, so that should be interesting. We have quite a few really interesting guests coming in. But again, I'm just going to finish by saying this. Again, please, please, please ask for anything that you want to understand or know more about. Okay? So I'm going to sign off there. Please take care of yourself. And please, please be kind to yourself. Okay? Because you really are worth it. Take care. Bye-bye.